Well, you know, this is a time of the year, you know, I've shared this before, that this is a time of the year where, you know, this holiday season where we like family, you know, we have family gatherings, each culture, each one have different types of traditions and different things that they do, and it's wonderful. It's all good. It's all good to get to connect with family if you can. If you can't, then, well, that's why we have Facebook and we have Zoom and we have all these other technologies today. But we can still connect. And we can share love with one another. And we can share good food. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I like all different kinds of food. I remember I was sharing this story. Reverend Tony Cook shared this one time. It was a funny story. He said, you know, people give him food, and he said, you know, people would ask him, how'd you like the food? And he said, he named his garbage pail Spot. And he said, when they'd ask him, he'd say, it hit the spot. So I thought it was a funny story. Don't ask me how your food was. I'll tell you it was delicious. I won't tell you it hit the spot. Anyways, I like all kinds of food. I'm serious. I don't think there's anything I haven't tried. I'll say it that way. There's many things that we've tried. There may be some things that we won't try again, but anyways, glory to God. But, you know, I think when we talk about this season, you know, we want to always remember the reason for the season that we're in. That this season that we're in is all about Jesus, the light of the world. He came to redeem mankind. That was his purpose to come, to be born into this earth. I like in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I think it's verse 3, it says that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So that was his purpose to come. And so when we look at a few of the scriptures here, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 in the New Living Translation, it says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Glory to God. He is with us. And a familiar scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, we're all familiar with this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is what? Given. And the government shall what? Be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this, his birth, you could say, is one of the greatest miracles. You know, our new birth was a miracle, but his birth was the greatest miracle that ever occurred. And God Almighty laid aside, think about this, God Almighty laid aside his glory and appeared on earth as a man. Just think about that for a moment. You're in glory and you say, go back to the earth. You go, what? I don't want to do that. So think about, you know, these are just some points here that Jesus came. This is a point I'm making here. Jesus came to reveal the Father. This is the first point here. John 1:18 in the New Living, or let's look at the King James. It says, John chapter 1 and verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Who declared him? Jesus. That word declared, it means revealed. The New Living says he revealed. He revealed the Father. So Jesus came to reveal the Father, to reveal the love of God. Hallelujah. In John 6:38, it says, "For I came down from heaven," what? "Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent him." Where did he come? He came down from heaven to do the Father's will, to reveal him, to reveal his great love for mankind, to redeem them. So he revealed the Father's love. Glory to God. Remember Philip in John 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto the Lord, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," or satisfieth us. Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip?" What did he say? "Philip?" And he said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father?" So if you see Jesus, that's the one thing. All the things that Jesus did was a reflection of the Father's will. So don't ever say that Jesus didn't, you know, in other words, question whether or not it's the will of God to do something. Just look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? He extended mercy. He forgave sin. He healed bodies. So don't ever question whether or not it's the will of God to extend mercy to you, to forgive your sin. He did it during his ministry. He revealed the Father's will. Don't ever question one second whether it's the will of God to heal you. Because Jesus did. He revealed the Father. Was it God the Father's will to save us, to heal us? Yes. Glory to God. Point number two, he came to take away our sins. 1 John 3:5 in the King James. It says, "And ye know that he was" what? "Manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Why was he manifested? Number one, to reveal the Father. Two, to take away our sins. That's why he came. Glory to God. Point number three, he came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, same chapter of 1 John. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was" what? "Manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why he was manifested, to reveal the Father, to forgive sin, to destroy the power of sin in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then the fourth point was to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. So those four points, he came, why did Jesus come? He came to reveal the Father. He came to do what? To forgive sin, to take away our sins. He came to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. I mean, we're reading the scripture. He said, this is the reason he was manifested, to take away sin, to destroy the works of the devil. And he came what? He came also to establish his kingdom here in the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at a few familiar scriptures here. John 3:16, "For God did" what? "He so loved the world that" what? "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever" does what? "Believeth in him should not perish." Here you go again. Forgiveness of sin. Should have what? Eternal life, everlasting life. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:19, "For it was God in Christ" doing what? "Reconciling the world" to who? "To himself. No longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." That's what we're supposed to do. Share, reveal the Father, reveal his great love reveal his mercy. Glory to God. You know, when people did Jesus wrong, what did he do, even on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when people do us wrong, cross us, we are to do what? Forgive and extend mercy. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Don't hold it against them. And then do what? Love them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the incarnation really was the only solution and hope for mankind to be what? Eternally reunited with God. It was the only solution. It was a God solution. So this, you know, I know just looking at the dictionary, I know Pastor Clinton taught a message, the God-man merger. It was the merger of divinity and humanity. Well, that's what the dictionary says. It's the union of divinity and humanity in Jesus Christ. That's just the Webster Dictionary definition. It's a union of divinity and humanity. God coming to this earth, God coming in flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just think about Matthew 1:21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall do what? Save his people from their sins. This is what we just got done reading. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth what? A son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:5, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, talking about Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but what? A body thou hast prepared for me. He prepared a body for the glory of God, for God himself. Hallelujah. Anybody that doesn't believe this is, I mean, they got to believe the word. He came to redeem us. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So when the fullness of time was come, he did what? He sent forth his son, made of a woman, how? Under the law. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, that word man, it says, the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Well, that word man does mean man, but it also means humankind. It means man and woman. He's the mediator of men. That means man and women. Now let's look at Philippians 2:5. I want to look at this real quick. It says, in the King James, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is where I wanted to look today, and looking at that he was made in the likeness of men, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I was sharing before in the New Living, in verses 5, 6, and 7, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ had, that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. That's how much he loved the Father. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. I'm going to just make some comments here that Rick Renner wrote, being a Greek scholar. He was highlighting this verse 6 in Philippians 2, who being in the form of God, he said, this word being, he said, who being, he said that right there, he said that word being, he said, actually establishes his preexistence. He preexisted. He always was. So when it said he being God, or being in the form of God, it said that this word depicts something. In other words, Rick Renner said, this word being is a compound Greek word. It's made up of two words. And he said, what it actually means is it actually depicts something that has always existed. He always existed. Who being? When you be, that means you had no beginning and you had no end. So he being in the form of God, he eternally existed. So this here, he had no beginning. He always existed. So this explains the statements. When you think about and you look at these scriptures, you look at this and it says, who being in the form of God? This is why Jesus in John, let's put up John 8:58. What did he say? Jesus made this statement. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So he always existed. See, you can tie all these scriptures together. So he was made in the image of man, in the likeness of man, but he being in the form of God. See? So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, this was not just his beginning, but it was really a manifestation, his manifestation to man, meaning becoming man, in this brief appearance in what? His eternal existence. He always existed. But it was this brief manifestation of him becoming a man in the form of us. He was made like us in every way. He was tempted like we were in every way, except without sin. Glory to God. So this also, this word form, he being in the form of God, he said this word actually means that in Jesus' preexistence, he looked just like God. He was not a component of God or a symbol of God. He was God. He being in the form of God. He wasn't just like God. He was God. Hallelujah. And God came to this earth to redeem me. Boy, don't ever question God's love. He loves me. Hallelujah. Why would he leave glory to come here to become and be made like a slave or a servant and be made in our image and likeness like sinful man? He loved man with a great love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is what Rick Renner said. God existed in glory more wonderful than the human mind can comprehend and more powerful than human flesh can endure. So he had no choice but to reclothe himself in a manner that could be tolerated by man. Or you could say he had to be packaged in such a way that he could be, that mankind could tolerate it. You understand what I mean by that? So this is why he said he made himself of no reputation and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was God in all of his capacity and glory, but he came and was made like us. Glory to God. So this word, when it goes on in this verse 7 of Philippians 2, it says, but made himself of no reputation. He said this word in the Greek of no reputation, he said it means to empty, to evacuate, to vacate, to deprive, or to relinquish. He said because it was impossible for God to appear to man as God. So he had to come. He had to change his outward form or appearance. Interesting, isn't it? So the only way that he could make this limited appearance as a man was to willfully and deliberately and temporarily let go of all the attributes that we think of the characteristics of God. He had to let that go and come down here in man, in a body. Boy, what a sacrifice. Just to redeem mankind, just to break the power of the devil and to forgive sin. What a privilege to serve him. What a privilege. Oh, when I think about the love of God and the privilege that he now lives in me. Oh, glory to God. So even today, when people say, well, I don't know what God thinks, open the Bible. It is God speaking to me. It's God's will to me. You know, it'd be nice to be able to say, just like Jesus, they said, well, show us the Father. And you say, well, just see me. See my brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll see God. That's why it's our great quest to walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. That's why when Jesus spoke in John 13, 34 and 35, he says, that we are to love one another as just as I have loved you. Because when we love one another, the world will see that we're his church, his disciples. Hallelujah. And then this word, when he said in verse 7 of Philippians 2, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him, this word took upon him is actually a word that's used in a number of different places in the New Testament. It actually is the Greek word lambano. It means to take or to seize or to catch or to take hold of. So this word lets us know that God literally reached out from his eternal existence and reached into this material world and he took hold of it. And he did what? He literally took human flesh. That's what it says. And took upon him the form of a servant. He took that. He took hold of it and took human flesh upon himself. He took that. He chose to do that. Hallelujah. Think about Romans 8:3. Just trying to we'll finish this up on Wednesday. But Romans chapter 8, 3, verses chapter 8 and 3, we mentioned this before. It says, for what the law could not do. See, this is what we were reading before in Galatians 4. It said, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. This says here, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak, how through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I like the New Living Translation. It makes it real plain. It says, the law of Moses was unable to save us. See, the law couldn't do it. Because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. So Jesus came to do what? Break the power of sin in people's lives. That's why, you know, never give up on people that are stuck in sin, because we're bringing the answer. You know, how many of us have continued to do something you knew it was wrong? And how much mercy did he extend to you? He worked with you. So for us, never give up on people, never give up on family, never give up on friends, never give up on people you know, never. I don't care how far they've gone into sin and to hopelessness. Never give up. Why? Because what is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8? It says, love never fails or gives up or comes to an end. Love never fails or gives up. That means we ought never give up on people, ever, because God won't. He never gives up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can see that when God sent his son into the world, Jesus left what? His heavenly home. And he took upon himself what? Human flesh. And because of this great exchange that took place, he stood in our place. He has felt what we feel. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he intercedes for us with great compassion as our high priest. Hallelujah. So at this time of the year, we're prone to think of Jesus, people do, as the little baby in the manger, in the Bethlehem stable. Certainly that is true. But we should never forget that Bethlehem was not Jesus' beginning. It was merely a brief appearance in his what? Eternal existence. He always existed. He is God. So out of his deep love for us, Jesus was willing to leave glory and enter this realm of humanity just for us, just to save and redeem us from sin. I'm telling you, what a privilege to serve the Master. What a privilege to serve him. I don't care how bad your days get. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. And he loves me. Hallelujah. Never forget that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this day. We glorify you. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you came, Jesus, to reveal the Father God. We thank you that you came and manifested yourself to forgive sin. And we thank you that you also came to break the power and destroy the works of the devil. And we thank you that you came to establish your kingdom, and we are now part of that kingdom. And we thank you for it. We thank you that you so loved us, and we believed on you, and we thank you that we now have everlasting life. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. We just wanted to bring that. We're going to pick up again on Wednesday and share a few more points, but I wanted to just start here and just share that he came and was made. He always existed. He's eternal. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. But he came here in this earth and was made a human being, a human man. And isn't it wonderful to know that he ever lives and he exists in heaven today as a human, in a body, a glorified body. Glory to God. And he's coming soon. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, we got some work to do. There are millions of people that need to hear the gospel. Glory to God, the good news of the gospel. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this day. We're so grateful for what you're doing and have done in our lives and are doing. And we give you glory and honor and praise this day in Jesus' name. And before we, conclude, we never want to leave any setting without giving people an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of their life, to allow God to come in and reside in their spirit, in their heart, and become a brand new person in Christ. And we also never want to forget and give people an opportunity that if they've strayed away from God, to make it right, to get it back to, get back to fellowship with him. So if you're here today or you're watching online, what an opportunity during this season to connect or to make Jesus your Lord, and also to fix, if you got strayed away from God, fix it. It's simple. He loves us. And let's say this, Father God, I thank you that you love me, and you loved me so much that you sent Jesus here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I thank you that you loved me and took my sins and sicknesses to hell. And even when I turned my back on you, you loved me. And Father, I thank you this day. And I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And I believe and confess with my mouth that he is Lord, and that he, on the third day, was raised from the dead. And now I receive him now as my Savior. Come into my heart. Make something new of me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I now profess that I'm a brand new person in Christ. Glory to God. Now, if you said that, just let us know before you leave here today if you've made that profession of faith or decision to follow Christ. And if you're watching online, let us know, contact us, and we'll send you some information as to who you have become in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to shout hallelujah for eternity in heaven. So we might as well get used to it here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, people can shout all kinds of other stuff. We can say glory to God.